polarization. It's the news. Got to me. Good morning. It is 7:38, basically almost 7:39. Just turned to 7:39. December 1st, first day of the month. And the month is almost over. Actually, the year is almost over. And oh, what a year it's been. Yeah. It's Thursday, December 1st. Basically, almost 7:40 a.m. now. And it is I. 2022. It is I. The man who will tell you that I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a epidemiologist or a virologist, I'm not any kind of life coach, financial counselor. I'm just a guy. It's a bunch of attitudes, and I'm a guy with an attitude and opinions. Got opinions about my attitudes. Got attitudes because of other people's opinions. It's a vicious cycle. I don't know which came first. Kind of like the chicken and the egg. Pretty sure the chicken came first. But I digress. It's my speculation. I'm speculating about a lot of things. There have been some interesting things being been listening to last day over yesterday and today. A lot of news happening. And, you know, it's just so much garbage and baloney and up and down, this and that, and this is happening over here and that's happening over there. And just, I'm going to try to do a little bit of something a little bit different today. I'm not going to talk so much about the details of what's going on. I guess maybe I don't ever talk about details going on, but I'm not going to talk about the details, get down in the weeds and what's going on in any particular subject. But I am going to talk about, I'm going to get down in the weeds on this one particular overall generalized subject about the nation, our society, relative to something that one thing is that is going on in the world that has a far reach into every aspect of our lives. And that is the polarization of society. Now, I'll talk a little bit about COVID and what has happened in the last couple of years and what is happening now, as well as what's happening with, it's all kind of tangled up in what's happening with Twitter and Apple and everything else that's going on. And I think it's important for us to take a step back once in a while and see what is really going on here, rather than getting caught up in the minutiae of maybe the big events that are happening, what led up to the big events, and what is really happening overall, and when these things bubble up the way they do, what is the fire below the pan that's been cooking here for a while? All I know is if there's fire in the pan, fire under the pan, I'm probably going to be heating up my chai in there. That's a good place to heat up some chai. I've got chai this morning again, of course, with organic creamer. However, I do have a backup cup again this morning. It's nothing healthy. It's just Wendy's sweet tea, which I'm pretty sure they didn't brew. It has that taste of being kind of just a commercialized concentrate that they make it out of. It's not, they don't actually brew anything. It just comes from a machine. One of those machines that have, you know, whatever you push the button and whatever comes out, sugar water flavored with whatever it is, whether it's carbonized or not, or carbonated, whatever. So that's what we got to measure this morning. Now, along with all that, just to be clear, but I should probably check my phone, make sure I've, the seventh day of Kislev, by the way, just in case you're wondering, Jewish calendar. Now, the polarization of America, the polarization of society in general, in fact, the world. You know, we talk a little bit about civil war, we talk about different things like that, and there really are, behind a civil war, there are typically ideologies that people are fighting for. And there's a lot of times there's economics involved. Sometimes a dystopian style leadership that wants to expand. Various different reasons for wars and civil wars and outbreaks of different types. Now, the hypocrisy on the left is off the charts. There's hypocrisy on the left and the right. On both sides of the aisle, there's plenty of hypocrisy to go around. People are hypocrites in all kinds of ways that we don't even realize. Most people think that they're kind of living in a... They think that the way they live is correct. They're usually okay with the way they're living their lives, if they're okay with it. I mean, they may not be happy with where their life is. They may be, I should be making $1 million a year. I should have a bigger house. I should have, you know, a bigger car, a nicer car, whatever it is that they think they deserve. However, most people believe that their church is the right church, or that they may not even agree with everything in their church, but they think that that's the, you know, most people think they're right, they're correct. Some people want to shove it in your face and show you how correct they are. Other people just want to be left alone, because that's the correct thing to do. So they, you know, whichever way they do it, it's the show that's part of their belief system. In the midst of that, people have a tendency to live and they surround themselves with people who believe the same things or pretty much the same things, and then they kind of live in this echo chamber where they comfort themselves, they comfort each other in what they believe to be right. And to some degree, it's encouraging. There's a reason why Scripture tells us not to forsake the gathering of the saints. It's encouraging to get together with each other and remind each other and testify of the things that God is doing in our lives. It builds our faith. That's a good thing. It's a good outcome. However, it's also good to be around people who challenge our faith, who ask us the tough questions. Because it helps us to dig in, to sharpen our faith, to not just be lackadaisical about it and kind of take things as they are. You just think that the world's fine. Everything's fine. Me and my buddies here just getting along. Everybody's getting along. And that's not what's happening at all. Of course, you ignore the rest of the world that's in turmoil and chaos and struggling and confused. Because you're not engaging with that. But hypocrisy is you can quantify it to some degree. Sometimes it's just glaring hypocrisy, almost to the point of deliberation. Now, recently, Anthony Fauci was interviewed, and I wish I could find the clip. I know that Robert Gouveia had played it on one of his clips that he played on his show, Watching the Watchers, or Robert Gouveia. He's got a channel on YouTube called Robert Gouveia, but he also has a website called Watching the Watchers. Now, he, interestingly enough, he played this clip of Anthony Fauci and talking about how, you know, they were asking him about China and what was going on over there with the lockdowns. He was very, very impressed with their ability to lock down entire societies. But you know, we shouldn't be locking people in their homes. They can't even go out and walk their dog. They can't go to the store. Hello. And you have Justin Trudeau, who's standing up for, we believe in people's right to peaceably protest and express themselves. This is the guy who sent out the thugs because they were illegally protesting and they were Nazis, waving Nazi flags. And the long arm of the law came down on those people. Some people died from that, by the way. But all of a sudden, Justin Trudeau is standing up for China's people of China have the right to peaceful protest. Interestingly enough, Babylon Bee had some comments about Gretchen Whitmer and Justin Trudeau with regard to COVID lockdowns. It's absolutely ridiculous the way these people respond. Now, one of the things that Anthony Fauci said was there has to be an end game. There has to be a reason for this, kind of lockdown. He said this is, you know, it's like the response was too. He didn't approve of their response. It was too far. Unless there's an end game, and again, they're actually coming out and saying it now. The end justifies the means. And whether you're trying to protect people from having enough PPE or whatever it is, he's trying to justify his own lies. He's trying to be really careful and walk dancing around that whole thing because he was the one who came out and said, oh, people shouldn't be wearing a mask right now. Shouldn't be wearing a mask. Well, I was just saying that because... I was trying to, make sure there was enough PPE for all the healthcare workers. So you lied because you didn't trust the American people to do the right thing. Could have just said, masks matter, but let's give, they make a difference. So let's make sure we can get as many masks to our frontline healthcare workers as possible. If you have masks, donate them to people you know who are in the frontline workers. People would have done that. Not their people. Maybe they're just concerned about because their constituents are not those kinds of people. There are all kinds of studies, not even studies, they're just actual actuaries that have looked into who's giving the most money, who's the most generous in the world as far as people in general, as well as breaking it down by demographic. Conservatives are by far some of the most generous people on the planet. Per capita. It's amazing. Liberals are not. I think it was in 2008. I believe it was either John Kerry, Joe Biden, or Barack Obama. Their charitable giving for the year, for 1 year, on their tax return, their deductions for charitable giving was $900. $900 for the whole year. Now, I don't know. Now I'm not saying that they're a bad person because now their justification for that is, well, I'm a public servant. I give my entire life. I've given my entire life to serve people. Therefore, whatever. Business owners, most business owners that I know are laying their lives down every day in their business to serve their community. Because if they weren't serving their community, they wouldn't be very successful as business owners very long. They're trying to serve a need in the community. Sometimes people... Are there greedy business owners? Absolutely there are. People who are just out for the buck, you betcha. How long do you think they're going to be in their community? Realistically, how long do you think they could be there? So it's businesses that have been around for 40 years that have their fabric sewn into that community. Their family is a part of their business. And I mean that by customers and people who work there, everything else. They're serving people in their community because it's their family. So, now you stop and think about this. The hordes of white outfitted frontline thugs that are cracking down in China. Who are these people? Now, if our mayor here, and I don't live in a city, but if our mayor here in the city next to me said, yes, we're going to have a police force. We're going to put together this police force. It's going to come through, and we're going to wipe everybody off the streets tonight because they're out protesting. Well, you know, people are going to have family members in that street. The people who are part of this force that's going to do that, they're going to have family members there. Now, do the people in the streets want to fight the people who are going to stop them? Well, no, because they got family members doing the oppressive stuff. It's you're pitting brother against brother and cousin against cousin. This happened during the Civil War, by the way, in this country. You had family members fighting on both sides of the line, or opposite sides of the line. This polarization of America is part of the left's plan. Divide and conquer if you read Rules for Radicals, or if you've heard of Rules for Radicals, divide and conquer has been, it's actually a very successful strategy when you're dealing with a large force. We were taught this I was in martial arts training years and years ago. That's when I first heard the term, divide and conquer. There were some testing situations where we would go through these tests where you go from one belt to the next. And this is back when Taekwondo was actually, wasn't necessarily brutal, but it was much tougher then than it is now. We didn't have pads. You had to learn control. It was part of the art of sparring. You'd spar bare knuckle, bare fist, bare foot, and you'd try to touch the full power. It was quite interesting, to say the least. Yeah, once in a while I'd get hurt. Nobody got sued. And one of the things that we would do during some of our testing is, going from blue belt to brown belt. There were two different brown belts, so you go from brown belt to first cup brown belt, which now they've got a couple other degrees in between there now. It's whatever they call it. But up in those ranks, they would, during your testing, they would throw four or five, six students up there for you to spar with. So it was one against five or six. What are you going to do against all these guys? And they would just say, begin. How you position yourself and who you go after first, how you preemptively strike, and you were supposed to have a technique that would take the person down. That person was then, the instructors watching would say, okay, you're out. He just took you out. Now, in the process of this, one thing I learned the first time I did this is I would be throwing techniques, and I realized that these people didn't even realize they'd just been hit. So you had to kind of make them realize they'd been hit by applying a little bit more of a touch, you might say, with that kick to the head. So they knew that they were down. And doing this would teach you that you needed to divide and conquer. In other words, you needed to kind of divide out the, take out the toughest ones kind of first. Use your most of your energy that you had at the moment. So as you got tired, you were taking out the smaller ones, the weaker ones last. And you would kind of keep that more powerful one in a place where the other ones couldn't get to you. So you kind of position yourself so that not everybody can get, just kind of bum rush you. Now, all of this being said is just to explain the whole idea of dividing and conquering. So you're kind of dividing out the group with what you can go for, and then you take care of them as quickly as possible so you can move on to the next one. This is what the left, this is their strategy, is divide and conquer. They can divide us up into groups, put us into pigeonholes, identify us in these little groups of people that they can either then placate by giving them stuff, or vilify them and position them, paint them into a corner, lock them in a hole. So you're all the evil ones. Because this idea that the end justifies the means is what they're all about. Now, recently Elizabeth Warren was captured, and she was asked about Elon Musk and Twitter, and she said, Elon Musk, he'll be just fine. But then she also comes across and she says, makes this interesting statement about the one person shouldn't be in a dark room deciding who can speak and who can't. Excuse me? That's what Twitter was. That's what Dorsey was doing. Well, you're on the far right. We're not allowing you to speak. Let's listen to what Elizabeth says here.
More offensive. I think that one human being should not decide how millions of people communicate with each other. One human being should not be able to go into a dark room by himself and decide, oh, that person gets heard from, that person doesn't. That's not how it should work.
That's not how it should work. That's not how it's working. Elon Musk he's saying all these people who the left had already canceled, he's letting them back on the platform. How is that saying you can't talk? No, he's correcting what she just said shouldn't happen. He would agree with you, Elizabeth. Pocahontas. He would agree with that. Because that's actually what he's doing. He's reversing the policy where someone was in a dark room saying you can speak and you can't. But that's not the way they're portraying this, because, you know, that would be difficult for them. Now, I'm trying to scour through the rest of Gouveia's stuff here. I thought that he had this interview with Fauci on here as well, but I don't see it now. He does have a couple of things from Corinne Jean-Pierre. Not talking about it here, but I just don't see the thing here. I think it was on one of his longer shows. It was actually on his full show. This is just is it 40 minutes? Yeah, 40, 45 minutes. His actual show was an hour and 40 minutes. So it's in here somewhere. In his show from yesterday. He's talking about Fauci and the whole thing. But we have this, what happens is we have this polarization. Now, what is happening, lines are being drawn. The leftists, this guy who was talking the other day, thing on YouTube. This guy was asked about how he said, "What?" He was an actor, and they were asking him, "How do you feel about, you know, the Elon Musk thing? Twitter." He said, "Oh, you know, I'm either way with Twitter. I don't really, you know, it doesn't bother me." But it was how was it? How did he say it? It was maybe I can find it on my phone, because it was worth listening to. But Now someone's texting me. Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out. Let's see here. If I, where was it? It was in the, well, let's pull this up. It might have been actually down here. Let's see if it was in the shorts down here. Now, of course, there's no shorts. When I want the shorts to be there, they're not there. Yeah, much other weird things going on there. Fellow who is in charge of our nuclear program or energy department or whatever, he's I think he's been arrested. Guy's a little bit of a, he's got some issues, some problems. Yeah, I don't see it here anywhere. I apologize. The polarization thing, how we pit one side against the other. Now, the left, people on the left think that they're in the center. That's what I was getting at with before. It was how people are, they're not self-aware. They don't step back and look at the big picture very often. They think that they're kind of living in that, they're well-balanced. Most people think that they're living the balanced life, and they're the ones who are kind of living right. They're living correctly. They're more of a centrist. They're more of a, and this is where I think some people who call themselves libertarian are today. They think that they're, well, I just call, in fact, I was challenging someone one time about being a leftist. Well, I'm not really a Democrat. I'm not really one of those. I'm more of a, I said, well, I'm more of in the middle. I'm more of a centrist. I'm more of an independent. So I'm kind of a conservative libertarian more. I would consider myself, and it's not defined by the Libertarian Party necessarily. It's just I can, by the definition of what a libertarian is and what the founders were, more in line with what the founders are. I don't think the Republican Party right now is aligning themselves very well with the founders. I think that they are more aligned with the founders than any other party other than the Constitutional Party. However, I don't think that they're. I think there's still some with the establishment GOP, with the establishment Republicans anyway.
Well, anybody who has dinner with these people, they shouldn't be president.
Really, McConnell, Mitch McConnell, you really think that? You want to look at all the people that Joe Biden has had dinner with? And you have no problem with him being president. Look at some of the people that Barack Obama had dinner with. It might be kind of interesting to see who some of the people are that you had dinner with, Mitch. If that's where we're going to go with this. Joe Biden has talked about how he was friends with Byrd. Was it Senator Byrd? Who was it? It's Congressman Byrd? I think it was Senator Byrd. He was a grand poopah in the Ku Klux Klan. Oh, but he changed his ways. No, he didn't. No, actually, he didn't. Some of the things he wrote late in life. All right, so this polarization effect, this polarization thing that they'd like to do, goes on and on and on. They want us to be divided. They don't want us to be thought of as individuals with individual thought, and we can have our own discussion and trust us with our own discussion. And yeah, there's going to be people out there who are going to say mean things. That goes along with it. That's a whole part of the pie, I guess you want to say. There will always be those people out there. If you talk to anybody on the right, you're going to find out that a lot of the very violent, vitriol stuff that comes out is from people on the left. A lot of the things that the left claims happens from these right-wingers tends to be phony, tends to be made up. Jesse Smollett, for example. There's example after example after example of the left creating these false narratives. You don't hear that too much on the right. Now, there are people on the right who will exaggerate and say stupid things about what has happened, what people on the left are doing. In fact, they'll take a bad situation and they'll make up stuff to make it worse. It's like, it's bad enough the way, just to tell the truth about it. Just stick to the truth. That's enough. It's all we need. People will understand it. You don't have to get sensationalized about it. Vast majority of Americans, I think, are balanced enough to, once they know the truth, this is, goes right along with what Abraham Lincoln said, let the people know the truth and the nation will be saved. And you could take that into a spiritual meaning as well, about who the truth is, but that's just knowing the facts. Once people hear that, just like the thing with Hunter Biden, it's estimated that 16 to 20% of people, if they had heard that the Hunter Biden laptop was real, would have either changed their vote or not voted at all. Would that have affected the outcome of an election? Absolutely, it would have. In this kind of a tight election, absolutely, it would have changed it. But, you know, somehow he got 81 million votes. Has all the earmarks. You see, the leftists and their ability to maintain power and control and their wealth, in order to keep that death grip on power, they need to manipulate and subjugate people. Now, they've had Twitter in their pocket. They've had the big tech in their pocket. Or they're in each other's pockets. And now all of a sudden, Twitter is opening up and allowing other thoughts to be tweeted. Who would have ever thought that Twitter would be in the middle of a civil war right now? But they are. That Elon Musk, the darling of the left, Alyssa Milano or whatever her name is, she was the four people that she would want to have dinner with. She could pick anybody in the entire world population ever existed. Jesus was one of them. I can't remember who, there was a couple others, and Elon Musk. He was great. He was a wonderful guy. She had a Tesla. So she gives back her Tesla. She buys the Volkswagen electric car. You know, the car that was originated from the Nazis. Nazi Germany started Volkswagen. We're going to go with that. Now, I'm not saying she's a Nazi because of that. But the one person who now has opened up free speech, is setting people free, if you will, from their Twitter prison. We talk about letting criminals out of jail. Well, all they did was rape somebody. All they did was, they just committed murder because they were threatened. They were oppressed. It's not fair that they were put in prison for 5 years. Gotta let them out. Because it's systemically racist. This is the kind of ridiculousness we're supposed to believe, all this stuff that they're claiming. They're all over the place with this stuff. You can take the things that they said yesterday and put them with the things that they said today, and you realize that they have no moral pinnings. They have no anchors whatsoever when it comes to ideology. It's whatever fits the bill for the day. They act all, like just like Elizabeth Warren here, acting all high and mighty. One person shouldn't be allowed to be in a dark room deciding who gets to talk and who doesn't. That's the point. That, see, you've created this narrative now that that's what Elon Musk is doing. He's this evil man who's going into a dark room because he has nothing else to do. He's not, you know, he's launching rockets, building cars. But he's sitting there at Twitter in a room picking out, you know, from the millions of followers, he's picking out which ones he's going to allow and which ones he's not. I don't know that he's banned anyone at this point. He's all he's doing is releasing the bans on people. Has he kicked anybody off of Twitter? Has anybody been kicked off of Twitter? Interestingly enough, the White House and Ducey actually confronted Jean-Pierre about the White House Twitter account. So are you guys going to close your Twitter account if it's a platform that you don't agree with? Well, no, because we have to, you know, there's many media and basically the answer is no. We're keeping an eye on it. We're monitoring the situation very carefully because of hate speech and misinformation. Who decides what's misinformation? All that misinformation you kept basically canceling people's lives over, destroying people's lives over, that we now find out was true. You were the ones pushing the misinformation. This science. It wasn't science at all.
Well, you know, you're arguing with me. You're really arguing with the science. Because I'm science. I'm the incarnation of science. So you're not really arguing with me. You're arguing with science.
Okay, so when you came out and said masks don't matter,
that science is lying to you right now to protect the PPEPPEPP.
Okay. Can we see they wonder why the people are so polarized. Of course, now Joe Biden came into office and he said he's going to be the great uniter. I'm going to be the great uniter. The only way that the left can see unity is compliance to their beliefs. That's how the left defines unity. You comply, you agree, and the world will be utopia. If you don't, well, it sucks to be you, because you're going to feel the full force of the law and the government coming down upon you. That's the way they're going to leave it. Because, you know, you're not a part of the unity team. You're not a part of you're one of the dissenters. Misinformation crowd. We've already told you that's not true. So you can't say that now. Even though it is. We're still, as long as we're all together on this.
You take a vaccine, you won't get the virus. You won't transmit.
Now Fauci's out there saying that, well,
you know, I've been boosted and everything, and I got the virus a couple times, but you know, I probably would have had it worse.
Okay, well, maybe you wouldn't. Who knows? Yeah, probably, maybe. But you were telling us there wouldn't be any transmission. Then when there was, it was...
There will be some breakthrough cases. It's a breakthrough case.
All of a sudden, there was breakthrough cases all over the place. Jen Psaki got it. The president's had it twice. His wife has had it twice. I was asking everybody right around that time. I was like, has Joe Biden ever had COVID? Do we know if the guy's ever had COVID? But it seems kind of strange. This guy's meeting with all these people all the time, and he's never had COVID. Personally, I think he's had it more than once. I'm sure he's had it more than the two times they told us about. I think he had it early on, frankly. But that's just my opinion. It's it's all speculation. Now, there's been this interesting, just to follow up and just kind of to draw a close to all this. There was an interesting article that was being read. I can't remember who I was listening to. I was reading through this whole thing of this. It's kind of this one guy's speculation on how this is all going to pan out. How China is going to react, how, you know, our nation, the United States, is basically going to fall into, it has a choice, but it's probably going to go into a civil war. And there will be chaos because we're going to kind of go down that road. So there's going to be all this disruption and chaos here, whereas China will not, because it's going to crack down on its citizens and demand compliance. Now, this country could go down that road, but I think that will just cause more chaos personally. But so we have this the potential for China to rise during that time, because there will be very solidarity there will be, even though it's half-hearted and it's kind of a phony patriotism, if you want to call it that. They may survive through that process and dominate the world because of it, because the U.S. will be in disarray. You've got a military that is rapidly marching not to defend the nation and what it stands for and its principles, but you've got a radically changing military. It's more about diversity and inclusion. That's not what our military is for. But of course, everything the military stands for in some ways goes against their narrative, so they have to change that. I believe, and I don't think people recognize this, but I think we're at the cusp of a real turning point in our nation here. And I'm not sure people are, usually when people are in the midst of something in an event, sometimes the event is so large that what the country is going through is so large. When you see historians look back into the 60s and 70s, they kind of look back with this, okay, well, this is what happened. This is where the nation was at that time. And this is what was happening. And this is how the nation turned. Now, they can't really explain too well how, why, and all the hows and whys of what the nation was going through and how it actually made the decisions it did at that time. And there are so many other influencing factors involved in the day-to-day working out of time. You look back into the Civil War and you look back into the Revolution. There were times when wars were won or lost just because of what the weather was doing. Fog would roll in a particular place, and all of a sudden it gave the underdog this incredible advantage. This happened multiple times. So you can make all your plans, and you can look at it, and you can lay everything out in the strategies and say, well, this side has this many armies, this has blah, 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 and you can go through all this stuff. Israel's a fine example of this. There have been many times they should have been wiped off the map, and they ended up repelling their enemies quite handily. And sometimes it had to do with sandstorms, weather events, confusion from the enemy. This is the kind of thing that is almost biblical, and yet there's a denial among some people about this kind of stuff. So you can't just look at on its face. You can't speculate based on what you think is going to happen, because look at the last couple of years. And where we were headed, where most pontificators were going in 2018 and 2019, and what was happening with the economy and what was happening with world events and all the things that were happening around us. And then all of a sudden, a little virus gets into the population and everything has changed in the course of two years. Actually, within the course of 6 months, everything had changed. We can't tell what the direction of nations and global affairs will be. It's all speculation on our part, unless you have an actual revelation from God about it. And we kind of know in generalities, but to know specifics is very, very, very difficult. And sometimes things are worked out very differently than what we expect. because we make assumptions based on our presupposed notions. We're better off observing than speculating. I guess well-educated observation is much better than dogmatic speculation. That's what I'm trying to say. Should be on a t-shirt, maybe a bumper sticker. That's good. That's good stuff right there. I don't even know. I don't even remember what I just said. So it's probably time for me to go. And my cup is, it's not only is my chai getting a little chilly, it's also, it's almost empty. Yeah. And of course, my wife is having car problems. I'm getting ready to go on a trip. That usually happens that way. So I'm usually heading out of town and she's having car issues. So we have to figure that out. Not sure what's going on. Once again, folks, thanks for listening, subscribing. There will be a show tomorrow morning. It'll be from Duluth, Minnesota, up near the Superior Lake there. Lake Superior. It'll be up there where it's cold. I want to go someplace cold for a little while. It's only 28 degrees here. I want to go someplace where it's less than 20. That'd be fun. God bless everybody. Have a great night. Have a great day. Up in the polarness. Take care.